Today's sermon is a children's sermon, which means it's a sermon for everybody, but the children get to sit up front. So I invite the children, if you consider yourself a child or those in authority over you, consider you a child. So John Lee, come on up. Right. Let's see. Might be able to pull a couple extra chairs from the side over here. All right, so today's sermon is from Psalm 118. So other times when I've preached to the children, we spend some time finding the Psalm 118. And if you're a child here and you want to find, you can. But you notice we had some technological difficulties today. And thankfully, I have something that I brought with me that doesn't need electricity. I'm going to be taping it on the front here. We heard about the people who celebrated Jesus riding into Jerusalem, and they were smart too because they didn't use anything electric. They used palm branches, which can't, you know, get unplugged. But they were also singing or shouting verses from a psalm in the Bible, and that was good technology. They had it memorized. So I'm going to put some verses up from the psalm we're going to be reading today. And really, as I'm going to read Psalm 118 a couple times throughout the sermon. And so you don't have to follow along with your eyes in the Bible. You could just listen. And then I'm going to have you all join me on some parts of it. So tape is a technology that I'm having some trouble with. So you could follow if you need to. But Psalm 118, I invite everybody to join in. Looking for that if you want. All right. But yeah, we're going to use the technology of our ears mainly today to listen to Psalm 118. And I'm going to pray in just a minute, but first I have a question for the kids. Raise your hand if you share a room with one or more siblings. Okay, put your hands down. Thanks. Raise your hand if the first thing you say to your sibling in the morning when you wake up is, "Thank you." I didn't think so. Let's pray. Oh, great God, you have brought us here today, young and old, because of your great love, spilling over through your Son, by your Spirit, to sinners like us. And I pray that you would help us to see more clearly your great, steadfast love in Jesus, and that you would show all of us here, including the youngest among us, the great love and glory of the Savior, that we might respond in thanksgiving. Amen. Okay, so I shared a room with siblings most of my life, and I never woke up and said thank you either because they hadn't done anything for me that night. I mean, maybe I could say thank you that you didn't put whipped cream on my pillow this time, but there was nothing to say thank you for. I didn't feel that they had been especially kind. Thank you for snoring. Kept me awake. No. But I was stuck one day. I was stuck between my bed and the wall. I was trying to get my stuffed animal down in the crack. And I don't know how it falls down in the crack and then it like moves back under the bed. And there's other stuff down there and I can't tell what it is. And then I tried to reach in with my other arm. You should never do that. Because then if you fall in, you don't have the strength to push yourself back up, and you're stuck. Help! Help! Save me! What would I have done if nobody came? What would I have done if my brother had said, I helped you last week? What would I have done if he tried to help me and he got stuck too? And we're both down there. Help! I mean, I had a lot of brothers, so one of them eventually would be able to get us out. But thankfully, I'm sure either I finally slid down and got out. But if I was pulled out by my brother, which I'm sure they happily did, what would you say if they helped me out and I just walked away and didn't say a word to him? Anybody have a thing? What's the problem with that? I should say thank you because I was stuck and he rescued me. I was stuck and he rescued me. And I should say thank you not just because he rescued me, but because I feel thankfulness because I was stuck and he rescued me. Now, we don't have time to go into all the details, but have you ever been stuck somewhere so bad that you needed someone to rescue you? And this is not just for the kids, for the grown-ups too. Can you raise your hand if you can think of a time you were stuck so bad you needed someone to rescue you? Okay, later on today, tell someone about that time. I'm sure that will make some interesting conversations. A time you were stuck so bad you needed someone to rescue you. Well, there was a time in Israel, in God's people, where that's how they felt. And I bet most of you know this story. It was a time when they felt so stuck they needed someone to rescue them. It was a time when they were fighting mean, wicked Philistine soldiers. And maybe they thought, we can do this. We can maybe fight them. We can maybe beat them. But then the other team had a giant. Does anybody know what his name was? Raise your hand if you know his name. Colleen? Goliath. They had a giant named Goliath, which doesn't seem fair. He would come out and he was laughing at God's people and he was laughing at God. But they felt stuck. They felt, we can't get away from him. His legs are longer. He'll catch up. But we can't beat him because he's a giant. They felt stuck. But then if you know the story, you know what God did. God sent a young man named David. And God had been getting David ready his whole life. God put David in the perfect family where he could learn to use what weapon? A slingshot. And it just so happened that God made sure David showed up to the battlefield that day. And it just so happened that God made sure that David's aim was straight and true, right to the head of that giant. And down the giant fell. God's people were stuck, and God sent David to rescue them. Everybody said thank you to God. Because he had done such an amazing thing. And if you know the story of David, he grew up to be a king, king of God's people, and he grew up to be a man who loved to sing God's praises. And one of the first songs that David gave his people to sing with him to God in the city of Jerusalem, which is the city where his palace would be, and the city where God's temple would be, had these lines in it. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Look up here. Do you see this here? It says, his steadfast love endures forever. So it's going to come up in Psalm 118. Whenever I say, for he is good, would you all read with me the rest of this paper here that says, his steadfast love endures forever? So we'll practice, because this is the first verse of Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. All right, just keep that in mind here. Have you ever been stuck so bad somewhere that you needed someone to rescue you? I already asked you to think about that, right? Well, there was another time for God's people when that's how they felt. They felt stuck so bad. This time it wasn't with a giant named Goliath. It was with a giant kingdom called Rome. And the Israelites, God's people, the Jews, felt like they were stuck under the mean, wicked, godless soldiers, the Romans. And in fact, when Jesus was a grown-up, there wasn't even an Israelite king ruling over Jerusalem. The Romans ruled over Jerusalem by a governor named Pilate. And they felt stuck, like they needed someone to rescue them. But they had a song from God, from the Old Testament. They had a song that they had probably, most of them, learned when they were kids. They had this song tucked away in their hearts, and they had it tucked away in their heads. And the song in our Bibles is called Psalm 118. And this song is about two main things. It's about God's steadfast love, and it's about a king. What does steadfast mean? You have to think about that real quick. Steadfast love. Verse 1 in Psalm 118 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Does anybody know what steadfast means? Well, in a way, faithful. Yep, that's a great faithful. That's a great description, Jack. Okay. Yep, God is good and merciful, and in some ways, endures forever is another explanation of steadfast. So like faithful, to say God's love is steadfast is to say it won't go away. It won't get smaller. It won't get weaker. It won't say, I helped you last week. God's love is steadfast. It's always as deep as it can be. It's always as strong as it can be. It never takes a break. It never is missing. It never runs out. So God's people, when Rome was over them, had this song, Psalm 118, and it told about God's love that would never go away. And they were thinking, oh man, we could really use that love from God right now, because we feel stuck and we need someone to rescue us from these Roman soldiers who don't want us to be God's people. And Psalm 118 is a story about how God's love never goes away and how he sends a king to rescue his people. So, this is a cool song because it was actually written not just for God's people to sing, but for the king to lead, it seems like. So, I'm going to just read the part of the king. And in Psalm 118, it's a lot of this king in the story song, telling a story of what God has done. So we're going to read Psalm 118, and I want you to read the parts with me that I have listed up here. So I'm going to, if I could ask the grown-ups to be ready to read along if you can't see. But we're going to read, and when I get to verses 2, 3, and 4, I'm going to say, "Let Israel say," and then we're all going to say, "His steadfast love endures forever." And then I'm going to say, "Let the house of Aaron say," and we're all going to read this again. And then I'm going to say, "Let those who fear the Lord say, His steadfast love endures forever." Then the king talks for a while in the song. And then when we get to verse 15, it says, "Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous." And then these lines are the song. So we're all going to read the last line of verse 15 and verses 16 together. And then when we get to verse 23 through 25, we're all going to read this song that all the people sing. So it's a little confusing, but I'm going to try to lead you when we get there. All right? So listen to this song and read along or speak along with us when we get to these parts. But as we read the psalm, I want you to be thinking about one main question. What does God do and why in the psalm? What does God do and why? Here we go. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever." So that's the beginning of the song, and now a king starts to talk. "Out of my distress, I called to the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me." So in the song, this king is telling a story about something God has done for him. What did God do for him? He says, "I was in trouble and I cried out to God, and God helped me, and God rescued me, and God gave me victory." And we could say, why did God do that? And the beginning of the song already gave us the answer. "For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Then in verse 8 he says, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." And then he's going to talk about being stuck in the worst possible situation ever. He's like a king with an army, and he's surrounded not by one group of Philistines or one group of Romans. This is a story of the time the king was surrounded by all the other armies in the world. He says, "All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off," he says, "but I won. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees." Have you ever been stung by a bee? Okay, it hurts. So sometimes if you've been stung by a bee, you see a bee, you get scared, you run away. If three bees are chasing you, that's even scarier. Can you imagine being surrounded by bees? That can be actually very dangerous. "They surrounded me like bees." Then he says, "They went out like fire among thorns." Have you ever been burned by fire or something hot on the stove? Yeah, that could really hurt. What if there's a whole like bunch of fire and your whole hand gets in it? That could be really painful, really dangerous. What if you're surrounded by fire? That could be deadly. And the king says, that's what it was like. I was under so much terrible attack. It was like I was stuck. And then all of a sudden he says, "But in the name of the Lord, I cut them off." God rescued him. God gave him the strength to defeat the enemies. Why? "For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Then he says, "I was pushed hard so that I was falling. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." So he's saying, God helped me. God rescued me. God came to my side. God's love didn't give up. Why? For he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. And so then the king says, we're all going to sing about it. He says, glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. Let's read this together. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. And then the king starts singing again. And he says, I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. In other words, he's saying, death's not going to win. Why? For he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Then the king starts talking like he wants to come into the temple. And he calls out and he says, open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. Why does he want to give thanks to the Lord, this king? For he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. And the king knows that because he just got rescued from swarms of enemies who were trying to push him down dead into the dirt. But God helped him. Then the king says, this is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Now, that's a little tricky to understand. But he's talking about himself. He's saying, I was a king and nobody else, none of the other leaders or rulers, thought I was important or that God would help me. And he says, God has made me the highest king of all. And so then the people join in the song. So let's read verses 23 to 25. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Now I got to stop right there and tell you, that's the part of the song that the Jewish people were singing when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. You kids sang a song for us today that had the word Hosanna in it. Do you know what Hosanna means in English? It means save us. Save us. So on Palm Sunday, the Jewish people felt like they were stuck under the Romans and they needed a rescuer. And here came Jesus. They had just heard that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And they had heard that Jesus was a teacher from God. And they had heard that Jesus had power over sickness. And Jesus had power over demons. And they thought, this is the king the song is about. We are stuck. And he's coming to rescue us. So they started singing the song. They started singing, Hosanna, save us. And look, he's coming to Jerusalem. He's going to go right to the temple, just like the song says. And guess where Jesus went when he got to Jerusalem? He went right to the temple, just like the song says. So we're going to get back to that in a minute. But let's finish the song. Verse 26, it says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God. And he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. Right, that's a little bit weird for us, the festal sacrifice. It just means let's worship God together by offering him a sacrifice. That was the way God's people worshiped him in David's day, in Jesus' day. They sacrificed an animal to show that they were depending on God to forgive them and save them, and they wanted to give him praise. So the psalm says, let's do that. And then the king says, you are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. And then I think everybody sings this last part. Can you see it right there? I think they all end the song together. Let's say it together. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So what did God do again and again in this song? He rescued this king. And the king is full of saying, thank you. I don't know if you noticed in the psalm, but again and again, the king says, give thanks to the Lord. I'm coming back to the temple to give thanks to the Lord. I'm giving praise to my God. Why? For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Now, here's the thing. The king in the song is saying thank you to the Lord because he knows that the love of God is great. And he loves him back. And he's excited about God. And he wants to give thanks to God. But did you notice that the king isn't just wanting to give thanks to God himself? In the song, he keeps on telling the people, praise God with me. Give thanks with me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So the king keeps on saying, you should give thanks too. God is good to you too. It's not just a story about the king, like David or somebody, giving thanks to the Lord for God is good. It's him saying he's been good to you too, which raises the question of, well, when Jesus rode in on a donkey, if the people are saying, oh, this is a song, they thought, okay, we'll start giving thanks to God because Jesus is about to rescue us from the Romans. And so then Jesus showed up at the temple, and maybe some of them thought, oh boy, he's going to start kicking out the Roman soldiers. But you know what Jesus started doing? He started kicking them out. He started kicking out some of the Jewish people. And he started saying, you messed up the temple. You're not serving God right. You're not worshiping God. You're not honoring God. You're not praying to God. You don't care about God. It was very surprising. And it made some people really, really mad. But you know, they were right. The people who sang this song about Jesus were right. They should have been excited. And they should have been saying, Hosanna, save us. Here comes the king that God is sending to rescue us. Just like he sent David to rescue us from Goliath. Here's Jesus. He is God's king. He has come to rescue us. So let's give thanks. The thing is that the reason he came to rescue them was different from what they thought. And that's why Christians today get to sing this song too, because it wasn't just for the Jews, Jesus rescuing them from the Romans. Jesus came to rescue not just the Jews from the Romans, he came to rescue all kinds of people, even some Romans, from way bigger enemies than the Roman Empire. Jesus came to rescue all kinds of people from two huge enemies, sin and death. So, how did he do that? In the song, the king says, I was surrounded by enemies, but God rescued me. Oh, we start to see God's love for his people, not just his love for that king. Because yes, God rescued that king from his enemies. But why was that king surrounded by enemies? Why didn't he just stay home in his palace? Because God had sent that king to rescue his people. That's why he was surrounded by enemies, because he had come in to fight them, to protect God's people. So, Jesus was sent by God to rescue people from sin and death. And so the first thing that happened when he rode into Jerusalem, or the main thing that happened, is God let him, and he let himself be surrounded by his enemies. And people sinned against him like crazy. They hated him so much. They fought him so much. They wanted him gone so much that they crucified him, killed him on a cross. And so Jesus even let himself be surrounded by death, surrounded by a tomb. But God wasn't going to let him stay dead. For he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. The reason why God let Jesus be surrounded by sin and death is because you and I are not stuck between the bed and the wall. If it were not for Jesus, we would be stuck in sin and death. We would not love God. We would deserve God's punishment for our sins, and we would receive the punishment for sins, which is death and being away from God. If it were not for Jesus, we would be stuck in sin and death. And so God, because he loves people like you and people like me, sent his son to die for sin for us. Sent his son to get stuck in sin and death for us, to take the punishment for our disobedience and our lack of love for God. And God said that when Jesus died on the cross, he was freeing his people from sin. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he was freeing his people from death and how scary it can be. Because just like in the song, the king is bringing God's people in to worship God in the temple, God says that Jesus gets to bring his people when they die or when Jesus comes back in to be with God forever. And so this song is not just a song about God's love for this king. It's also a song about God's love for sinners. And so when I wake up, I don't say, you know, thanks, brother. But I do have great reason to say, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And so that's what this song is saying. If you believe in Jesus, if you know that you would be stuck in sin and death if it weren't for Jesus, if you know that he beat sin and death on the cross, and when he rose from the dead, then you have a reason to give thanks to God. You have a reason to sing praises to Jesus. You have a reason to follow Jesus all your days. Because if it weren't for him, you would be stuck in sin and death. But Jesus came to rescue sinners from sin and death. Why? For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. I just want to say one last thing to the kids, to the adults. If you can say, I know I would be stuck in sin and death if it weren't for Jesus, and I do believe that he has rescued me. And I believe in him. Well, you know, you're going to have other hard things happen in your life. You're going to get stuck in other ways. Maybe you'll get stuck and you feel like, I'm stuck in a new sin I didn't even know was in me, but here it is and it's taking me away from God. Or maybe you feel stuck when you get older with really hard things happening in your family that you never thought would happen. Or really hard things happening in your body, sicknesses that you never thought you would get. One of the reasons God has given you this song is so that you could know already ahead of time that if you belong to Jesus and you are trusting in Jesus, then you are going to have more reasons to give him thanks because he's going to rescue you somehow. Why? For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So if you believe in Jesus the King, then he has something to say to us. He's like the worship leader. He's the real choir director. He says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." So we're going to pray, and then we're going to stand up and give thanks to the Lord. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you that your steadfast love endures forever. I pray that we would grow to be grateful, thankful, that we would have love to give to you because you have given your love to us. I pray that you would teach your people to rejoice in the King and in his salvation. Amen.